All right, I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. I want to preach tonight on the everlasting God. The everlasting God. The Bible says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, Surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I am awake, I am still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. The everlasting God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You, Lord, for Your word. What an encouraging psalm we've read tonight. Lord, I pray that we'd be more than readers of it, but Lord, we would take heed to what it says. We'd allow it to influence and impact our lives in a great and mighty way. I ask for strength to preach what I need to preach. Lord, I ask for wisdom. And I ask for Your guidance in this service. And Lord, for all that's accomplished, we'll give You the glory. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We find in this psalm the everlasting God. We see Him in His omniscience, in His omnipotence, His omnipresence. We see tonight, as we look in this passage of Scripture, who He is and where He is and what He can do and how He works in our life. And I believe as we look at this tonight, we see the relationship between God and man. We see the relationship, personal relationship, between you and God and me and God through the eyes of David. And this psalmist, as he's writing one of the most beautiful passages that you'll ever read. And we see many things about God that we ought to remind ourselves of every day. I was reading one book and it said that this is a psalm that we ought to take note of every day of our lives. It'd be good to begin our day with it and maybe even to end our day with it. As you read these words, if we'd be reminded of these attributes of God, of the power of God, of the presence of God, of all these things, then I believe it would impact our day in such a way that we would live that day greater for the Lord. So as we think about this tonight, I want us to think about this everlasting God and see some things about Him. First of all, I want you to see that there is no position that God does not know. There is no position that God does not know. Notice what the Bible says. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsizing, my downsitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. When I see this, I see where the Bible says, O Lord, thou hast searched me. That means to pierce through. In other words, we sometimes say something like this, I can see right through that person. And I want you to know that's what the Bible is saying here, that God sees right through us. But when we're looking at this, don't look at this as though God is trying to find somebody, something wrong with somebody. This is literally talking about God is looking for a treasure in us. God is wanting to look at our lives. He wants to look for something in us to bless and to reward. And that's what this is talking about. Thou hast searched me and known me. And David is saying, you've known my life, God. You've searched me and you blessed me. And tonight I want you to know God is looking to bless us. God is looking to do some great things in our life. He knows where we stand. He knows what our life is all about. He doesn't sit up on his throne in heaven and wait for us to reveal ourselves. We're open to him and transparent to him. He is an all-seeing and an all-knowing God. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my fall afar off. When we think about this, we realize when it says my downsitting and mine uprising, we realize that this is even our most casual time. God knows when we get up, and God knows when we lay down. God knows when we go and have a seat. In other words, God knows every part about us, everything about us. There's no position that God does not know. We're talking about a God that's an all-knowing God tonight. And then it says, you know my thoughts, even afar off. You realize tonight that before you think something, God already knows what you're going to think? That ought to change the way we think, amen? It ought to change what goes through our mind. But the Bible teaches us here that God knows our thoughts afar off. Do you know that only God knows your thoughts? You know your thoughts and God knows your thoughts. But before you even know your thoughts, God knows your thoughts. God knows how we're going to live our life. When we stand before the Lord, I want you to know we're not going to be able to fool God. And saying, well, that was never part of my life. You may have never said it, but when you think it, God knows it. We have to realize these things. We're talking about the everlasting God. We're talking about the God who is righteous and God who is holy. And then in verse number 3, thou compassest my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. In other words, he knows my walk. He knows how I live my days. And verse number 4 says he knows my talk. See, God knows. He knows everything about us. He's looking to bless us. He knows our thoughts. He knows when we sit down. He knows when we stand up. He knows our walk. He knows our talk. The Bible says, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. We ought to learn to use right words. And we ought to learn to use encouraging words. I want you to notice what the Bible says. I'll read it. You can mark it down. But the Bible says in chapter number 12 of the book of Matthew, verse number 36, Matthew 12, 36, but I say unto you that every idle word, this is Jesus speaking, the Lord Jesus Christ says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's pretty tough, isn't it? The Bible says that every idle word we will give an account of to God. You know when we just run off at the mouth all the time? You'll stand before God with that. By the way, I think even in being a faithful witness, we have to be careful. It's not always what we say, but it's how we say it. You know, we can't be so abrasive to run people off. We can't just force what we're trying to tell people. We can't force that on them. That becomes wrong when we're not doing it in the right spirit and in the right way. If we're trying to do it in a judgmental way, you might as well say, look, just throw it out the door, because people's not going to listen to you. You live the life that's right, but then God knows your walk and God knows your talk. And when your walk is right, your talk can be right. See, He knows every position of our lives. He knows the truth about us. And by the way, you have to be willing to accept the truth. When somebody says, look, you know, you're just too overbearing, you need to realize, I'm not talking about stopping witnessing to them, but I'm talking about learning how to do it in the right way. Because I believe we spend a lot of time using idle words because we're trying to force something on people when we have to allow the Holy Spirit to do the work. And then God will give us the right time and the right place, and He'll allow us to be able to speak to somebody. You see, I worked with people. I worked a secular job for many years and pastored at the same time. And I worked with people that were Christians. I'm a saved people and loved the Lord. And boy, they would talk to people all the time, but it's almost like they were talking down to them. Always pointing out their fault. Always saying something that was wrong. And I learned from them. I learned, don't do it that way. What I would do many times is we'd go out on job, me and somebody else, and be one-on-one with them, you know. And we would sit there, we'd be turning wrenches, you know, trying to get a job done, trying to do something. And I would mention something like, you know, I'm excited about church Sunday. I'm ready for this, you know, or you know, I'm going to be preaching on, somebody's lost, don't know anything about the Bible. He said, I'm going to preach on this Sunday. I believe this is what God wants me to preach on. And you don't know how many times they'd start asking questions. So there's ways you can do things, you know. But if you just start pointing out, well, y'all not do that, or boy, I would never do that, or you know what, you're living like that, that's just wrong. That's not going to win somebody to the Lord. But you show your excitement about the Lord Jesus Christ. God knows your walk, and God will bless your talk. When your walk's right, your talk's right, then God will begin to open up the hearts and minds of other people, and they'll listen to what you have to say. God knows every position. He knows where you stand. You don't have to impress God, but you do have to impress people. God knows where you stand, but you're not going to impress people by pushing something down their throat, right? I don't know why I said all that, but I think it needed to be said. I want to use words wisely. And I don't want to not use words when I should, but I don't want to try to force something on somebody when I need to let the Holy Spirit do the work. The Bible says, thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. In other words, He surrounds us. He sees all. He knows all. We're talking about a God there's no position that God does not know. He knows everything because He surrounds us. He's everywhere. He sees all. He knows all. And then notice what the Bible says in verse number 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain unto it. God knows more about us than we know about ourselves. And that's what it's saying. David is saying, I cannot attain unto what you know. So, Lord, I just want to be what you want me to be. I want to take the position you want me to take, you know? And then the second thing, there's no place where God is not at. No place where God is not at. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. We see this death. You know, in death, God is there. Wherever your eternity is going to be, He is the omnipresent God. In heaven, He's going to be there as a God that blesses and a God that honors and a God that works in our lives. But I want you to know, in hell, He's going to be there as a constant reminder of who you refused and who you rejected. He said, if I go to heaven, they're out there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Think about it. You'll never escape God. The atheist of the world says there is no God, but I want you to know they will never escape His presence throughout all eternity. They'll be reminded over and over and over again that there is a God and He is real. There's no place where God is not at. We see that he's in death. We see that he's in distance. The Bible says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And God may send us into the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa. God may send us to some place where we never thought we would go, but I want you to know, wherever you go, God is there. America, sometimes in days gone by, may have thought they had a monopoly on God. But I have news, they didn't. When churches are meeting here and churches at the same time are meeting somewhere else in another part of the world, the same God that meets with us here is the same God that meets with him there. If we take the wings of the morning and we fly out to the uttermost parts of the sea and we go beyond the seas to other islands and other places, God is there. There's no place where God is not at, because he is the everlasting God. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He created it all. We see not only is he there in heaven or in hell and death as we look at it, and we see it, that he's there in distance. We see also that he's there in darkness. The Bible says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike unto thee, both alike to thee. You know what he's saying? That if even if sin covers me, if the darkness of this world covers me, you know, we could see here that even if we're going through the darkest times of our life, it's not what the context is here, but even in the darkest times of our life, when we feel like we're all alone, I want you to be reminded that you're never alone. As a child of God, he's there. When you think that you just can't handle it anymore, God's willing to handle it for you. But here it's talking about, it says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me. In other words, even if I say that the sins of this world will overcome me, even the night shall be light about me, is what it's saying. The night. But even when darkness tries to surround me and sin tries to surround me, even the night will be light about me, because you're there. He goes on and it says, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. In other words, what people try to do to hide in the darkness, you know, most crimes are committed when? In the darkness. What people try to do in the darkness is not concealed to God. God is God and he sees all. See, there's no place where God is not at. And then thirdly, I want you to see that there's no person that God did not create. No person that God did not create. The Bible says, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. We look at this, we talk about the reins and the womb. Before we ever discovered the light of day, from the very beginning, from conception, God was there. I want you to know when a baby is conceived, they are then a person. They're not some embryo. They are a living human being. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. In other words, before I ever had one act, you already knew about it. In your book you already see all things, know all things. He created us. He knows all about us. That's something that we need to understand. That God created each one of us. He has made each one of us in his own image. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And by the way, that's every person that is born. That's every person that is conceived, is fearfully and wonderfully made. We may have thrown millions of babies in the trash in this world through the murderous avenue of abortion. But I'm convinced that every child that's been aborted is with the Lord Jesus now. But imagine
if one of those could have been the next great preacher, the next great missionary, if one of those could have been the one that was going to help keep America the kind of America God wanted it to be. You understand that? We praise the Lord that God is a gracious God and a merciful God, but we must also understand that there are consequences to the sins that we have, as a nation, have committed. We have to understand these things. He created us. We're all His creation. And when we look at this, we see that no person, there is no person that God did not create. We see that He created us. In these last two verses of this section, says not only that He created us, but He cares for us. Notice what it says in verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. He said, David said, because I'm your creation, because I know you, your thoughts are precious to me. Your thoughts to me are greater than the sands of the sea. It doesn't matter what I go through. When I wake up, you're still there. Those thoughts are there with me. You care for me. And what he's revealing to us here is God's care for our lives. God created you. And God cares for you. And God wants to do something special with your life and with my life. And He wants to take our lives, those of us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, He wants to convert us and bring us to Him. And He wants to show us how much He cares. And because He cares, we should care. And His thoughts ought to be precious to us. What does God think of me? What does God think of you? What does God think of your attitude toward His church? What does God think of your attitude towards those that are around you? What does God think of your attitude towards His precious book? What does God think? His thoughts ought to be precious to us. We think about these things, we realize how much He cares for us. If He cares what we think, we ought to care what He thinks. And if we want Him to care about what we think, we must care about what He thinks. And then finally, there is no purpose for God that He does not honor. And these last verses are seemingly strange in this psalm. But notice what it says in verse 19 and 20. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. We see in this David's confidence. David was confident that God would do right, that God would slay the wicked. And sometimes we're so busy to condemn. Our job is to do what it is God wants us to do and let God take care of these things. Now, God may put us in war, and that's our responsibility. The Bible teaches us that we do have to go to war. God is a God of war. And I think we have to be very humble before the Lord and know what we're doing. But as we follow God, God will slay the wicked. And so David says, they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. David's saying here, he's talking about those that are speaking blasphemies of the Lord. He says, God, you're going to have to take care of them. I can't conquer them all. And I think about in America, we can't conquer all the wicked. But I'm grateful for the people that we've liberated. I'm grateful for what America has stood for many years. I've been proud to be an American ever since I understood what being an American was all about. Amen? I want you to know that. I don't always agree with everything that America does. I don't agree with everything the government does. Past presidents and present presidents, I'm telling you, don't agree with all of it. But when we as a nation forget who God is, then you're going to see a nation that's going to fall. By the way, we can't point our fingers at some of these other nations if we're going to mock God in our own nation. God help us. The Bible says David was confident of this, that God would slay the wicked. He was confident that those that spoke wickedly, the enemies of God that took His name in vain, that God would handle those. If He would do right. Who is David? Is he just a,
a man, he's the leader of a country, isn't he? Isn't he the king of a country? When you have godly leadership in a country and they have confidence in God, it makes all the difference in the world. We have to understand these things. It's our responsibility to do our best to keep that happening. Not only do we see David's confidence, I want you to see, we see David's confession. And look at this. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. We see David's confession. He says, God, I hate those that hate you. This is not a hatred that we wish them and condemn them to hell. It's a righteous indignation is what he's talking about. He says, I am taking my side. I'm standing with you. Sometimes we need to ask the question, who is on the Lord's side? And that's what David's saying. He's saying, God, I am on your side. And those that are not going to stand with you, I'm not going to stand with them. I hate those that hate you. I will not put up with the wickedness and the evil leadership that are around me. I'm going to hate those that hate you. In other words, I'm going to fight against them. And I'm going to trust you to slay them. That's what he's saying. That's what he's helping us to understand. This is David's confession. And then I want you to see David's concern. He says, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. David was concerned because he knew that in his position of leadership and in his life that there could be evil creep up in him. He's saying, God, I want to stay right with you. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. You know what David's saying? I want to be right with God. It doesn't matter what anybody else in the world thinks of me. I want to be right with God. Search me, O God. Know me. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. God, lead me in the way everlasting. I don't want to go down the path that others have gone down. I don't want to allow the evil, because I'm a sinner. I don't want to allow that evil to overcome and overtake me. Search me. Try me. Know me. Keep me pure. Lead me in the way everlasting. Help me to do in my life what you want me to do. David's concerned. Tonight we ought to be concerned, and our concern ought to be, are we doing with our life what God wants us to do? When we think about this one psalm and we see the beauty of it, and we realize that there's no position that God doesn't know, and there's no place where God's not at, and there's no person that God did not create. I want you to realize God knows everything about you. He created you, He knows where you are, and He knows where you stand. And tonight we need to realize that no purpose for God, there's no purpose for God that He will not honor. So if we realize that He's created us, He's placed us where we are. He wants us to take the right kind of stand that as we purpose in our heart to do God's will, God will honor that. And when we do that, we'll begin to ask God to search us, to try us, and to know us, and to be sure that there's nothing wicked in us. And when there is wickedness, that we'll confess it to Him, and we'll ask God to lead us in the right way. It was the same psalmist that said, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Where God leads, He proceeds. Where He guides, He provides. I want you to know He goes before us. And He wants to guide us in the way everlasting, because He is the everlasting God. What is your relationship with the Lord? Sometimes I think we need to go back and read this and just remind ourselves of who God is and who we are. And when we begin to see God for who He is and begin to see ourselves for who we are, then we'll begin to realize just how mighty and precious God is. Think about it. It started out, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and know me. God started out, David started out writing this, Lord, You're looking for ways to bless and reward me. You're trying to see through me. You're piercing through me so that you can see me and so that you can reward me. And then David says, all these things, you know everything about me. You're omniscient. You're omnipotent. You're omnipresent. Lord, help me to follow you. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you for loving us. I ask you to help us tonight, Lord. I pray that we've just seen something precious about the relationship between you and us. Lord, may we be right with thee. Lord, may when the darkness seemed to be falling in around us, may we realize, God, that you're the light that'll carry us through that. And Lord, if we decide to give in to the darkness, Lord, that we can't hide what we do from thee. Lord, when the wicked seem to be winning around us, Lord, help us to do right and trust you to take care of them. Lord, when we begin to think that our life is a failure and our life is nothing, Lord, may we be reminded, God, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, that you created us. Lord, before we ever existed, you knew who we were. And then, Lord, help us to be reminded that you see our walk, our talk. You know our thoughts before we think them. So, Lord, tonight, may we just give ourselves fully to thee. And may we be strengthened by thee to live the life you'd have for us to live. We pray these things in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Brother Chris is going to sing this hymn of invitation. I'm not going to beg you to come.